selling is a Tutankhamun. On a hippie trailhead full of zombies. Obi met a strange lady. She made it nervous. She took Obi in and gave it breakfast. And she said, Obi comes from a land down under, where sheep blow and poop to splunder. Can't you hear the blunder? You better run, German giants, take cover. Fucking come from man in Brussels. Yeah, 6'4" is man muscle. Obi says, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me Obi an Oreo sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down low under, where sheep grow and folks do wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, German China, take cover. Lying like a dork in Bombay. Real slack jaw, nothing much to say. Obi says to the man, are you trying to tempt me? Because I come from land of plenty. And he said, oh, Obi comes from land down under. Come. Where sheep grow and poof their splendor. Get to hear the blunder. You better run, German China, take cover. Obi comes from land down under, where sheep grow and poultry's wonder. Can't you hear the blunder. You better run, German China, take cover. Obi comes from land down under, where sheep grow and poultry's wonder. Can't you hear the blunder. You better run, German China, take cover. Obi comes from a land down under, where sheep grow and poultry's wonder. Can't you hear the blunder. You better run, German China, take cover. Down under, where sheep grow and poof to splendor.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Manthrax clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain, in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this message is mainly aimed to the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, you chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. Now this is episode 100 of the Movement Turd, and the chat took place on the 11th of December 2011. And the title is, Jew Richard Niemla is Still a Finnish Jew that Hates DSCI, and for a second portion, The Story of Sodom, Yesterday and Today. Now in the first part, I go ahead and discuss with others, with Russ Walker, that Jew Richard Niemla is scurrying around claiming the no-devil doctrine, which is common to Zog Asian provocateurs pretend to be one seed line or covenant Christian identity. Now, most of the people, when they think of this, it pretty well came with this character named Sheldon Emery, but it also came from this Jewess named Gerda Koch from northwest Arkansas, from what I gather. And generally, they claim the absurd that there is no such thing as, Satan. Now, never mind the fact
the Satanists mentioned quite a bit, why you end up having people like Clint Downey and her little meerkat and the rest of these retards claim that there is no such thing as Satan. The only thing that's bad is there are bad people running around. Now, just as Eli James and Finkelstein are the papist preterists of Christian identity, why the no-devil nitwits, which claim that essentially it's all man-made, that evil is because of the result of, well, bad men and, you know, not being in touch with themselves and not being nice. Well, the no-devil doctrine is the universal, you know, the Unitarian version of Christian identity. And essentially, you have this Jew who named Nimala, and for better than 10 years, he's been running around. And I'll go ahead and dig up emails and post them. But essentially, he's a Jew. He runs around with Eli James as well, which stands to reason, Eli James being a Jew. And essentially, he used to, way back about 10 years ago, me and this guy named Hengist, well, Rex T-Bolt, back when Rex was my good friend and before he betrayed me under pressure, we used to go ahead and say, okay, Nimala, since you're claiming that dual seed line Christianity comes from the Talmudic notion that Jews are admitting that they are the spawn of Satan through Cain, where exactly in the Talmud, you Talmudic screwler, does it say that you Jews are descended from, you know, Satan or from Lucifer? Now, actually, the Talmud, and I believe the Kabbalah as well, goes ahead and in a roundabout way admits that Jews are descended from Lucifer through Cain, but they don't go ahead and go out and say it. But here was Nimala. He was screwed, because if he went ahead and admitted that the Talmud said that, we call him a Talmudic screwler. And so we'd ask him, well, okay, Jew boy, how do you know what the Talmud says? Have you been saying the Talmud? And the answer is, of course, Nimala Turd had been going ahead and studying the Talmud, so he couldn't really do anything much about it. Now Nimala, he's a little bit older. If he was 72 back in 2001, he must be 82 now. And he's still a kike, still an evil Jew, still a lying Jew, and he's still running around. And that's what we went ahead and used the first portion of the show about. The second one is about the nature of Sodom and Gomorrah. Russ Walker had asked several times, what was the racial provenance of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? And the answer, of course, is that they were not Canaanites. They were white Adamites. They couldn't be Israelites because, well, during Abraham's time, Jacob Israel was, Abraham's grandson. And at that time, I don't think that Isaac had even been born. So, in any case, Abraham was going ahead and commenting about if they would find 50 righteous men, then 10, then 40, then 30, then 20, and settled with 10. If they had been Canaanites, there would have not been any discussion. Essentially, they would have been just simply burnt alive. But because they were white and they were Adamic, and therefore somewhat under Yahweh's law, Yahweh decided to go ahead and deal with them. Now, if they'd been Canaanites, his preferred means of dealing with Canaanites is to have the Israelites put these dirty Canaanite Jews to death. Instead, because they were of Adamic origin, Yahweh ended up taking care of them. But folks, what was the sin of Sodom? The answer is, of course, homosexuality, but the second one was self-righteousness. It seems that, hey, faggots and evildoers don't like to admit strongly that, yes, they're evil, yes, they do bad, they do evil things. They like going ahead and judging people on their intolerance to, well, judgment. They went ahead and accused Lot when he tried to protect these angels of the Lord from homosexual rape. You've just come among us and yet you judge us? Well, It seems like that attitude of judgment will go ahead and stand them well, because Jesus Christ has said several times in the Bible that the men of Sodom would be judging Israelites on how they act during Judgment Day. That the men of Sodom and Gomorrah would be judging. Now, were they entitled or equipped to judge? And the answer is no. But you end up having, I guess, faggots still ever so judgmental. And I've had liberal Whigger faggots in Newton County, claiming, of course, I'm a child molester. And you even have one, I think, call in, you know, during this, during the chat show. And go ahead, and of course, he assumes that Zog is right, Zog is correct, and that I'm a child molester. Well, folks, if it was up to me, I'd go ahead and geld and make these critters eat their nuts. I mean, essentially, they're evildoers, and there's no shortage of their evildoers. You end up having over on the monkey barrel, you end up having Kentucky Chomo Melange, some sort of mams or criminal, like, you know, well, Visser. You have Visser going ahead and call me a child molester. The fact of the matter is probably the only reason Visser has been charged with child molestation is that, hey, he's gone ahead and convinced everybody that, yes, he is a mamser. That, yes, as a mamser, he goes ahead and does all this sort of thing to his spawn. It doesn't really matter. You know, who gives a crap what beaners and niggers and the rest do? And the answer is nobody does. So, therefore, Visser gets a free pass. You have Overgender Bender, being oh so sanctimonious, even though it's a mamser Jew faggot of some sort, pretend to be Christian identity. And this character from Morgan is probably a nimbuster, but he might have been some other sort of self-righteous tart. It didn't really matter. So, why was Sodom the way it was? Well, yes, it was evil. Yes, it was, homosexual. But it also would judge harshly against those who would judge it. It wanted to do evil, and it wanted to be able to go ahead and persuade itself that it was good. So folks, we'll go ahead and have about, I'm not quite sure. It's going to be about a close to 3-hour show. And I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and get it out, folks. So, hail victory. Oh, by the way, I hope you like the new Obagender Bender song that I went ahead and came up with as a parody. Based upon, the land down under where sheep glow and poofters plunder. So, folks, we'll go ahead and get this thing out here, and I hope you enjoy it. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, stupid Whiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Whiggers keep remembering how good Zog used to be. Being caught long stone, our of memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Feel the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer Ass Clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open-air coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call and who Christ went ahead and turned, chose and picked and brought you in. Greetings. Now this is episode number 100. This is a nice even number. Actually, there's probably closer to 200 shows because for a while, I mean, I'm not quite sure how many shows there are. There might be 160, 180 shows. I haven't counted them all. And some of them are, they're not gone forever because I've gone ahead and saved them and somebody else has gone ahead and uploaded them. And, you know, folks, yeah, I need to go ahead and put them on the Library of Congress is what I need to do. Okay? But what I will do, you know, what I will do or what I plan to do is to, go ahead and put them on the Library of Congress. But what strikes me is that regardless of all these characters, be they Jews or whatever, I've always managed somehow to eventually get my message out on the internet, as long as I'm relatively free. So, guest number 10, Jesus is the Son of God. He and the Father are one in purpose, but two separate personages. Anyway, I'm not really a prophet. I'm really more of a watchman to go ahead and tell you about all the clowns and the retards and the rest here within Christian identity. Now this morning, I got my hours screwed up again to where I'm going to bed around 10 o'clock and then getting up around, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's sort of screwed up. It's not altogether bad because it, if I stay home, it doesn't really affect me very much. But I do have my hours screwed up. And it don't seem to be affecting me too much because, my leg is, you know, feeling better to where I can walk a ways without a crutch here. My hip's gotten better over the last, week or so. So I can go ahead and walk a short ways without a crutch. So anyway, I'm feeling pretty good. Roxy is at, she's visiting the Casino Indians with her daughter, Fat Ass and Red Nigger. And I guess they're going ahead and putting more money into the casino here that Red Nigger will go ahead and take out because he claims to be, what, Cherokee or Hacksaw or shit-ass from the Wipem tribe. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, it's the Eastern Shawnee. It's the Eastern Shawnee tribe that's doing well here by the casinos right around this neck of the woods. But where was I? Well, also the Miami Indians as well. But that's why they call it Miami. It wasn't named after Miami Beach. It was named after the Miami tribe. And I'm not sure where they came from, Florida or wherever. But in any case, she's off visiting the Casino Indians with Fat Ass and Red Digger. The longest lasting of all the meerkats. And essentially, it's just me and Poopy Dog. Here at the hovel. And right now I'm just pretty well talking behind the black plastic of the EIB network here, Erysyphilis in Broadcasting. And folks,
I went ahead and put 99.5 up. I've gone ahead and come to the conclusion it's best not to go ahead and, if you get fall behind, not to go ahead and try to catch up by going, you know, just go ahead and skip. Go ahead and skip as many as you need to skip and go ahead and get the last one up and at them so it'll go ahead and be relevant. So I'll try to go ahead and get this movement turned out, tomorrow. You know, yeah, get out tomorrow. Now, folks, I've been working on my, I've been sending out my appellate stuff here. I haven't gone ahead and got to work on the brief. But in any case, what I want to go ahead and look at, since this is a nice even number, even though it's not the 100th episode, it's more like, who knows how many. And folks, when you go ahead and put them all together, 16 kilobytes per second, you end up having close to 100, you end up having close to 4 gigabytes of memory here. Trash Can Man comes on. What I'll do, rather than send them a DVD, I'll just go ahead and send them one of these thumbnails I went ahead and made and tell him to go ahead and save it to media of his own device here. Just go ahead and download it, then go ahead and resend me back the thumb drive or something like that. But yeah, I have close to 4 gigabytes of 16 KPS, starting from, episode 0, which was on the 29th of December, 2009. So, essentially, I've been running close to broadcasting for about, a year and 10 months and something. A year and... I think it started February 7th of 2010. And that's when I fight with Jeremy Visser and the rest of the Pisser Possums. And eventually it ended up with me and John Britton being banned on March 21st. But over the years, I've been kicked off of a number of places here. And I've always gone ahead and come on back. And in some cases, probably Zog didn't mind me coming on back because they want to go ahead and find out what was going on. Now, I got a call out over on Ashkenazi Asswipe's White Reference blog. And I think I'll go ahead and put it right back. Hey, welcome, Poopy Dog. Anyway. Well, it seems like Jeremy Visser, or Oba Genderbender, no longer goes ahead and comes in as OB-118. They got to go ahead and troll as a guest, which is fine. Anyway, I got a call out on whitereference.blogspot.com. And from what I gather, this John Taylor Bowles and of the ANP, of Rocky Sudhoya or something like that, what they do is they operate out of this place called the Redneck Shop in Lawrence, South Carolina, which is where August Christ used to go ahead and hang out at. And essentially, I refer to them as a gang that cannot shoot or shit straight. Augie was not a Zogbot, but he was just a tard. And, oh, by the way, Eli James has taken down this blog post of his over on his forum, to where he goes ahead and tells everyone how he prevented prevented Dan Johnson from getting his ass whipped by Augie Christ and Charles Juba and Bradley Jenkins because they thought he was a Jersey City Jew boy. I mean, Eli James, he goes ahead and he pulls this crap all the time because he has all this embarrassing stuff. Now, I remember last year, right around the 6th of November, Eli James came up with this crap about how I was an ADL, SPLC, agent provocateur, like Hal Turner and all this other good shit. And then, on the 14th or 15th, here comes, his good buddy Brian Rio and takes me down off of Hostmonster and 101.com. So pretty well within about a couple of weeks, Eli James deleted that post, but, Sword Mamser went ahead and kept on posting it, and Visser went ahead and kept on posting about how I'm an ADL SPLC spy. Well, the reason Elier took it down, I mean, he's a pretty smart Jew boy. He figured out that people were saying, well, if Linsta is an ADL SPLC spy or Zogbot, how come they won't go ahead and save his web pages from him, from Brian Real. Why won't, you know, why won't he go ahead and save the ones affiliated with Nimbusters, who Brian Real was hunting down? And the answer is no, I'm not an ADL, SPLC spy or anything like that. But anyway, it seems like Ashkenazi Asswipe has essentially found out about the Dick Dick Show. As I look at it, if I don't rub TalkStew's snout in the fact that I'm still broadcasting, using if not their bandwidth, I'm still using their chat room. Well, as I look at it, they won't go so far as to go ahead and take me down here. Now, I had a little bit of a scare because I'm not going to go ahead and say a vulnerability about my, you know, about this particular program. But I had a little bit of scare and it worked out okay. I went ahead and looked at an old archive and figured out what I needed to put in, and essentially I got the thing running back again. But over the years, I have been impressed to where the hallmark of Jew infiltration within this movement, you know, Jew and not, it's Jew, but it's also Whigger infiltration here. I had this twat named, what the hell was her name? Rita Bradley. About 2 months ago, you know, this old twat was going ahead under the name Caring Friend, asking Harold Covington if she couldn't be a moderator of his Facebook page. Okay? And, in any case, okay, I'm looking at the chat, but anyway, what happens is that this old Rita, I call her Rita the Pita Ita, went ahead and asked Covington, oh, why don't you go ahead and get somebody to moderate your Facebook thing? And Harold Covington said, well, that's the reason that I'm kicked off of VNNF, I'm kicked off of Stormfront, I'm kicked off of White News Now. And mainly the reason Harold Covington's kicked off is because not only hatting the Meerkat and Wiggerswill, and, you know, but mainly it's because of April Gady. April Gady, sometime around April or so, decided that essentially she wasn't getting enough attention. She wasn't, you know, Covington's people, you know, and from what I gather, Covington's Colonel House lives around Kalispell too. She has some little meerkats like this Scott Ernest Muljor or whatever. And the guy looks like, well, he looks like a matoid of some sort. He got a lot of hair and beard. He looks like a junior Covington himself here. But, you know, he's not, you know, he doesn't have near the spark or the intelligence of driver Harold Covington. And essentially, oh, about a month and a half ago, hatting the meerkat and April Gady got me in one of my sock puppets kicked off of Sperm Front. Of course, not to worry. Essentially, I went ahead and activated sock puppet number 666, and I was back to trolling as usual. And, well, I wasn't trolling. You know, this one, usually what I always do is, oh, okay, it looks like Russ is on here. Anyway, Russ, I tried to call you, but it looked like you were out here, so I wasn't sure if you're going to go ahead and give a call. So I'll go ahead and yak on for about another 5 or 10 minutes, and then, you can go ahead and give me a, you can go ahead and give me a, you can go ahead and call in, Russ. Anyway, what I wanted to go ahead and talk about on this 100th, you know, official 100th episode is that over the years, the same thing applies. If it's not Jews, it's Whiggers. And they all go ahead and claim, this is not what white nationalism is about. It's not my view of white nationalism. Well, folks, what is Rita going to do? Answer, I don't think she's going to do anything. She just doesn't like my name calling. She doesn't like the fact that I'm a nice guy. She doesn't like, you know, a number of things here. So about last week, it's been about 6-7 days. Okay, hold on. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Russ here. Let me see how much time I have. Okay, I only got 13 minutes.
We had a power failure. Some guy drove into a pole down the road from me and took the whole neighborhood out. Anyway.
Well, what you end up having nowadays, it used to be, I remember, way back in the 70s and 80s, why someone go ahead, some drunk go ahead and do that sort of thing, why essentially it'd be about, you know, electricity would be out for about, maybe an hour or so. But nowadays,
hour and a half,
what happens, it's shut down, somebody goes and calls in to the electric company, and they go ahead and triangulate where the line is down, they immediately send a lineman, they immediately send a crew to go ahead and fix it. Nowadays, it seems like more and more of the time, you end up having a longer and longer and longer response time. I remember it's been about 6 months ago. I heard a big old bang, and from what I gather, it was in July or something like that, and it was a transformer that got hot. One of them, one of them round boxes, one of them round steel, that contains PCBs and all their good stuff here. And it took them 4.5 hours just to go ahead and replace it, just an ordinary transformer. So
transformer, that's not a telephone pole. Transformer is much more complicated.
Well, it probably is, but you used to not go ahead and have something like that to where it took so long, because I'm quite sure they have a number of these transformers, in their truck or whatever, just in case one goes out. And it went out at the foot of the hill. It went out within about a block or so of me, and that's why I end up hearing it go bang. You know what I mean?
It's just, well, I'll tell you, if we have these so-called solar flares, like some people are predicting, and if they really put surges on the system, they could burn out some big transformers.
Well, perhaps the point I'm trying to make isn't so much the natural world. It's simply that essentially the human. The human element has gone ahead and degraded quite a bit to where you don't have as near as quick a response time in what is rapidly becoming older and older and older, infrastructure. And in many cases, they're not going ahead and fixing this infrastructure,
right?
Because, well, essentially,
it costs money,
and In many cases on this internet, stuff, essentially you have places like Netflix trying to go ahead and suck up all this bandwidth to go ahead and stream their movies, and essentially these internet service providers, AT&T and the rest, are simply saying, well, hey, if you're going to go ahead and you're the top 5% of users, to where essentially we sell you 10 gigabytes a month, and essentially you're using more like 10, 11, 12, 13 gigabytes, whereas everybody else is just using one or so couple of gigabytes a month. Why, we're going to go ahead and end up charging, by the bandwidth here. And they're talking about doing that increasingly. But what you end up having is people who try to piggyback off of other people's systems going ahead and essentially going ahead and using far more than what the system was designed to handle. I mean, it's not designed to handle where everybody is going ahead and streaming in live audio or live video, continually. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, some of these guys on the chat room are really sick. I mean, in all honesty.
Yeah,
is this the type of stuff that really shows them how brilliant they are? I mean, to me, they're just not just crude, they're actually sick. They've got some serious mental problems. But if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do.
Well, generally my rule is don't spam. If you don't spam, I don't go ahead and, psycho slaughter kill. Well, I guess this one guy wants to go ahead and say, hey, I am sick. Huh?
He's sick. Hiram says, like who? Like this guy 13 is pretty sick as far as I'm
concerned. Oh, he's just hard.
The slaughter kill is pretty sick too. I mean,
that reminds me. Last night, I went ahead and called into the news guy, or Peerless Goodman's show. He went ahead and said that Peter Goodman 2005 wasn't him. And I believe that's true. But anyway, he had this character called Unknown Fucktard. He's real proud that he makes porno videos. He's real proud that He will go ahead and screw about anything that has a twat. And he ended up calling me a child molester. He ended up calling me, how do you like Second Peter, Martin? You know, Baby Peter. And I said, you know, look, under normal situation, you know, I mean, you're just proving my point in that what we live is we live in a society in which the average person is altogether irredeemably evil, no good. Now, in the case of this guy from Oklahoma, chances are he got a good deal of Anglo Mestizo in him. But you remember one time when you were asking about the racial composition of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I pointed out to you that they couldn't have been Canaanites, because if they were Canaanites, there wouldn't have been any question about finding
five people,
you know, 10 or 5 or 50 righteous men in a city of the Canaanites. I mean, Yahweh would have just simply destroyed it. Now, Yahweh reserved for the Israelites to destroy these Canaanite Jews, but, you know, there wouldn't have been a question. Sodom and Gomorrah were of an Adamic, you know, were of Adamic stock here. They were not of Canaanite stock. You read a couple chapters earlier where Abraham went ahead and...
Agree with you, Martin, at that point. But one of my friends says they must have been Israelites because they were severely punished for violation of the law.
Well, I don't think they weren't Israelites. I mean, first of all, there was no Israelites around the time of Abraham, so they couldn't have been Israelites, okay?
Okay.
All right. You know, I mean,
right.
So they were of Adamic stock. Abraham had earlier gone ahead and taken their side against the five Mesopotamian kings. And he hadn't taken anything, you know, even a shoe latchet, as he called it here, in return. So, yes, they were of Adamic stock. But what they were is that they were just so ever so righteous. Remember how they went ahead and got on Lot's case, and they went ahead and got on the angel's case because, well, essentially they thought they were too good to essentially... share rump ranging or whatever here. But, you know, these men of Sodom, every one of them, from the low to the great, tried to homosexually rape these angels of the Lord. And essentially, remember what they said? He says, how dare you go ahead and judge us? How dare you go ahead and judge us? And, pretty well, Yahweh struck them blind temporarily, and they told Lot, you need to get out of here. You need to get out of here. Well, folks, it says later on that the men of Sodom, you know, the men of Sodom will go ahead and judge. Most so-called Christians, you know, will be raised up and they will judge because a greater one than the angels were going ahead and talking to these people. But folks, among whites and wiggers, you have all this sanctimoniousness and you have all this sort of thing. Well, we're in between, while underneath they're altogether evil. And that's especially the case of, Christian identity. I've been talking to Keith, and Keith seems to have the notion he's going to go ahead and separate Eli James's crop, you know, crop of cards.
Hmm? Keith who?
Keith Sutherland.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I've gone ahead and, by the way, we're putting the Keith Sutherland, we're putting the, what do we call it, Christian Identity Studies Group, we're moving it back from 8:15 Eastern Time to 9:15 Eastern Time. That way, the folks in California, well, it'll start around 6:15 p.m. their time. But like I was trying to explain to Keith, is that there's not going to be a change. There's not going to go ahead and be a change in, you know, not Sutherland. I'm sorry, Southworth. Okay.
Right.
There's not going to be a change and who listens to Eli James, and there's not going to be a change in who listens to Bill Fink, and the reason there's not going to be a change is because both Fink and, you know, and Eli James have already got their wandering, what I call their wandering mamsers of talk show, you'll see I mean, let's see, Wednesday night, this is sort of interesting, Wednesday night you had, Legal Mamser 2012, John's. You had Matt Twat Zogbot, Fink's head tard, who goes ahead and does most of the censoring. And you had old Ice, you know, he calls himself Icelander, but I call him Ice Screeling. And he took a picture of himself. He's a little burnt cork-eyed mamzer, you know, with Michael Jackson's skin. I mean, a dead white, you know, pallor. You know what I mean? Sort of like old Johnny Depp. I'm looking. They're playing Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory right now, and I'm looking at it, and Willy Wonka. Well, essentially, Willy Wonka has pancake colored, has white flower skin here, and I think old Johnny Depp here has a little bit of nigger in him too here. So anyway, you have all these characters here. I mean, here's Dan John's kid, and Dan John's kid has Crohn's, you know, has Crohn's disease, and he went ahead and he denied it. And essentially, Dan John's, he had an older computer, and he lost control of his chat room. So I was just trolling the crap out of him as guest number three and says, hey, you got Crohn's. No, I don't. I said, yeah, you do. You said you did. And essentially here, you know, I mean, you have all these characters, and essentially they're bleeding out the asshole because they're, you know, because they're Jews. Well, at least I believe that they're Jews. You know, because they're, you know, I mean, they have a Jew, you know, immune deficiency disease. And they have one heck of a problem. They have one heck of a problem in that they don't really belong. So, you know, I'm trying to tell Keith Southworth is that you're not going to go ahead and get these people who are essentially mamzers who would not be allowed in any family congregation, wouldn't know where to go ahead and see one. You have these people who want to pretend to be Christian identity. And essentially, as long as, you know, as long as they can keep up the imposture, well, they'll go ahead and do so. I mean, it wasn't me. You know, I didn't drive Brian Reel away from Eli James. Brian Reel decided he was going to go ahead and side with William Fink. Then later on, I mean, he disappeared at the end of July, but William Fink never went ahead and kicked him out. And here you have William Fink talking about the purity of the race, the essence of, you know, I mean, you've got to maintain racial purity. And you have Brian Reel saying that. And I've seen, you know, I mean, Brian Reel is, in many cases, delusional. And then he gets all vicious here when you go ahead and show his real name and what he really looks like. I mean, shoot, this fine, effeminate-looking, brown-skinned character here, why, he's a white supremacist, you know. And you're not going to go ahead and change that here. But, you know, like I was trying to tell Keith, is you're not going to go ahead and save these wandering mamzers of Fink and Eli James from, you're not going to go ahead and save them from, you know, from being, well, essentially, you know, from going ahead and understanding, you know, the true non-paper critter of Christian identity. Go ahead.
Let them feel like what they want to be.
Well, yes, that's pretty well. I mean, some people say, well, Martin, you're being too nice to these people. And the answer is that, like I told Eli James when I was giving him a hard time. Eli James, I went ahead and made fun of a post by Matt Twat Zog Bot fighting with Eli James, and Eli James, I mean, just literally a second or so later, went ahead and said, are you siding with Fink? And I said, no, I'm not siding with Fink. I don't take the part of one Jew boy against the other. I mean, I do believe you're far more dangerous than Fink is because you've managed to go ahead and imposture being Christian identity for, what, 25 years. Fink has just, you know, has got out of prison 3 years ago. And already he is pretty well at odds with each other here. I was looking on Saturday Night Show, and essentially, since Eli James has gone ahead and fought back against Fink, he's pretty well picked up quite a bit of audience. And Fink has lost quite a bit of audience. So, you know, essentially, I'm looking at the market share on number of computers, and old Truett, Anglo-Mestizo Truett, said, well, it's good that Eli fights back. Well, I went ahead and trolled some with Eli James and all that, but in any case, you have Eli James, he's beginning to go ahead and get back more audience share and since Fink's expense, but there's always just so many mamzers, there's always so many of these critters who run around and, well, hey, there's no shortage of them. Anyway, hey, Russ, let me go ahead and save the chat. I'm going to go ahead and talk about mamzers from the old days. What do you know about Richard Niemela? J. Richard Niemela.
Niemela? Yeah, in fact, I just read an email from him, as a matter of fact. think.
Okay.
Noah is a single feline guy, from what I understand. He doesn't believe in dual seed line.
Oh, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. You know why he doesn't believe in single seed line?
No, I don't.
Because he's a finished Jew. Okay?
I grant you. I've seen the emails I put out in the last day or two.
I have seen that. You know, essentially what happens, he's associated with Eli James as well. What happens?
I don't know if it's true or not, but...
Well, let me just go ahead and tell you. You remember when you say censorship is of the Jews?
Oh, definitely.
Well, let me just go ahead and tell you. Let me go ahead and take a break. And when we come, when I go ahead and record this, I'm just going to take a 30-second break. When we come back, I'll go ahead and tell you about the time Namala, Andy Anderson, Clint Downey, and Maggie went ahead and censored me off my Granby internet, you know, Granby telephone company internet connection. Okay?
How'd that happen?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute.
Take off.
Okay.
I'll take off too for
me. No. Don't take off here. Hold on.
No. I'll just put the phone down.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, I'm going to be back in about 30 second break to go ahead and divide it into two parts. Hail Victory.
Smile today, I'm not gonna lie. You're out living it up today. I've got dues to pay, and the grave digger puts on the forceps. The stonemason does all the work. The barber can give you a haircut. The carpenter can take you out to lunch. Now, but I just want to play on my panpipes. I just want to drink me some wine. As soon as you're born, you start dying. So you might as well have a good time. Oh, no. Sheep go to heaven. Goats go to hell. Sheep go to heaven. Goats go to hell. Sunset strip, I don't wanna feel the emptiness. Old marquees with stupid band names. I don't wanna go to Sunset Strip. I don't wanna go to Sunset Strip. I don't wanna feel the emptiness. Old marquees with stupid band names. I don't wanna go to Sunset Strip.
All right. Okay, we're back for what will become the third section of the Movement Dirt, episode 100.
Okay,
folks. Throughout the history of this bowel movement, and throughout especially about the internet, what you've always had is you've had these people who come in, and the first thing that they do is they go ahead and censor. They go ahead and they get in to Christian Identity or whatever. They get into a movement. And Harold Covington, about 4 months ago, was talking about, he's talking about, Internet Cognitive Dissident Ops here, something like that, Dissent Ops. And essentially, this Rita Bradley, she's not a Jew or a Zogbot, she's just an aging old twat who wants to go ahead and control this discourse. April ain't a Jew, she's just a hyper nigger twat who's lost her looks. But whenever you have this thing, just like with Eli James, with Brian Real, what you have these characters who show up, and a lot of them are Jews. And they show up, and the first thing they do is they go ahead and censor. They go ahead and censor any dissent here. Now, way back in the summer of 1999, the federal government, the FBI in particular, was just scared as heck, and it went to these constitutional militias. Now, the original militias were essentially, at least in Missouri, there was about, six or seven of these small militias. They were all rural militias. They all had from, six to maybe a dozen white guys. A lot of them were Christian Identity oriented or Klan oriented. And essentially, a lot of times they were veterans. And essentially, the original militias, at least in Missouri, were just these small groups here who sort of thought that they could go ahead and change things. They'd gone ahead and passed the Brady Bill. Bill Clinton was talking about, health care and doing all this and taking over 1/7 of the economy. They were talking about Hillary Care. They'd gone ahead and passed the Brady Bill. They'd gone ahead and passed that you couldn't have large magazines for your guns. Essentially, they'd passed all these laws, and these militias were in response. But the main thing that brought them in response was Waco in 1993. Now, following the April 19th murder of the Branch Davidians, you had a lot of people who were pretty well annoyed, and they went ahead, and in 1994 they started forming militias, open militias, and they decided to go ahead and open it to ordinary Whiggers, and they called it constitutional militias, even though there's no such thing as a constitutional militia, because the Constitution did away with the people's militias and really the state militias by making them federalized in Article 1, Section 8 of the wonderful Constipation Bill of Goods. That's what Patrick Henry and George Mason had a fit about taking over these militias and making them into a select militia chosen by the government. In any case, getting on with it, once you end up having to where you had these constitutional militias, you would have in St. Louis and Kansas City, you would have these people forming these constitutional militias. And what they would try to do is say, well, we're not racist. Why, well, look, we're going to go ahead and go down to downtown Kansas City and try to recruit a Negro brigade. A Negro brigade from the inhabitants of Troost Avenue and stuff. And you get a few niggers because niggers like living off of Whiggers here and pretend to be a good house nigger and pretend to love the white man and all this sort of thing. So niggers, you always go ahead, if you want to have a suburban Whigger, he'll always go ahead and find him a tame Uncle Tom nigger to go ahead and, play at here. And the Tom nigger is either after, Whigger pussy, or he's after money, or he's after, whatever he's after. Niggers in many cases learn to go ahead and live off the white man. I mean, most of them aren't as open about it. This nigger I met at the Nut House, who when I asked him why he mooshed off me, he said that his mama had told him to go ahead and find a nice white man and latch on to that white man, and the white man would take care of it. In any case, you would go ahead and have that. And as a result, of a lot of things that was going on, you'd have these people like Red Mike Vanderbo. You have a number of these people who would go ahead, they get in, they become security officers, just like Anglo Mestizo Truett does with Morris Gillette. They would become, you know, security officers, and then you'd end up having all these militia convictions. And that's exactly what the heck you end up having quite a bit in the militia movement. Well, getting on with it, where was I? You also had to where these people would claim that, well, you don't believe in the Constitution, you don't believe in this, you don't believe in that, why, essentially you're a racist, we're going to go ahead and kick you out. Now, that had occurred for about 3 years, and essentially, you know, by 1997, when, you know, by the time that these two Missouri Highway Patrolmen had gotten in to these militias and disrupted a few, but mainly against these common law court people, I decided that we were going to go ahead and just, you know, well, you know, we got into where we never showed up for, quote, militia meetings or target shoots or anything like that. So, essentially, they just went underground. You know, the 24th, the one out of Springfield, and the one up in Carthage. But in any case, you would have these people go in, and they had kicked out, they'd gone ahead and kicked out these, quote, extremists, especially in Michigan. Old, what the heck was his name? Norm Olson and Ray Southwell were deemed two extremists, and they got replaced by these federal imposters, Tom Wayne and another, Lynn Van Hoysen. And by 1999, the FBI is worried about Y2 chaos coming around, and so they go to these militias, the Missouri 51st, you know, the St. Louis First Volunteers, the Michigan Militia, and ask these people, will you please tell us about, you know, these people who you kicked out, these Christian identity types and all that? And, folks, you end up having a counter-revolution, the case of the Michigan Militia, to where some of the people who they had supposedly kicked out went ahead and formed a coup and kicked out these agent provocateurs. They refused to go ahead and step on down. So anyway, it's just like the Reform Party. When you end up having essentially a bunch of Zogbots and essentially the sheep are sort of running around worried, paranoid, these organizations, just like the Reform Party, they go ahead and they die. But in the summer of 1999, myself and Willie Martin were invited to this Yoo-Hoo group called Holy War by this guy called, his name was, you know, Robert Paul. He also called himself Cygnus One. He called himself Norse Knight. And, folks, it wasn't until later we figured out, well, hey, nobody knew him. So me and Willie Martin would go ahead and post onto the Yahoo group, which was open at the time. Essentially, Yahoo allowed racist content, although they didn't allow them on their GeoCities page here. Okay? Anyway, I'm looking at this, I'm sort of looking at the chat. Anyway, suffice it, you know, here comes Y2 chaos, and you have all these people who are all paranoid. About all I did for Y2 chaos is I bought me an Israeli gas mask. That was about it. I went ahead and bought at the feed store, instead of buying these $50, you know, for a 5 gallon bucket of wheat berries packed in nitrogen, I just simply went to the, you know, feed store in Purdy and bought myself a bunch of wheat. And essentially just, it weighed what? You know, I bought me 10 bushels of wheat. Essentially, a bushel of wheat weighs about 53 or 54 pounds. So I bought, you know, 10 50-pound sacks for $5 a piece. So essentially, I had $50 worth of wheat, you know, in 10, you know, about close to 10 bushels in the back, weighing 500, you know, weighing what? Oh, 50 pounds. So I'm not sure if I bought. Well, anyway, it was enough to go ahead and fill one of these old, freezer chests full. Anyway, that's what I prepared for Y2K. Well, Y2K went and passed, and then May went and come and gone, and there was this retard named Andy Anderson. Andy Anderson, and this woman named Maggie, she called herself Maggie Butts, And essentially, she believed that women ought to be able to speak in church. And you had old Debbie Downey and her little meerkat Mark, who essentially are no Satan believers. You know, you remember the Sheldon Emery they're talking about? You know, the no devil doctrine? Russ, still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Just played on the internet.
Okay.
I'm on here right now as guest 16.
Okay.
But this guy 13 is sick. I don't know if he's
sick. Well, he's he's a nimbuster. It don't matter. Okay.
It doesn't bother me, but I mean, he's sick though. The boy is sick. That's all. I mean, he if this is his way of getting thrills, he's wasting his life away. He should find another way to do something more important.
Well, okay. Well, Ross, if you think by making words of censure you're going to change guest number 13?
Am I going to do what?
You're going to change guest number 13? Oh,
yeah.
Well, he's just a nimbuster tard. It don't really matter.
I'm not suggesting censure. I'm going to say what I want to say.
Well, I don't censor anybody as long as they don't spam the chat room. But anyway, getting back with it, you had a peer... You had a peer to what was originally essentially a place to keep an eye on what they viewed as extremists, i.e. Willie Martin, although Willie Martin was about the meekest man ever made. Willie Martin, and of course me, who's not very meek. And essentially it was designed to go ahead and be a place where Christian identity people, dual seed line and single seed line, could go ahead and get on there. And you had this female named Maggie, who essentially she hangs around. You have old Clint Downey and her little meerkat Mark Downey, who believe in the Sheldon Emery no devil, you know, thesis. And you had Richard Niemela and you had John Knight. You had John Knight all on this particular Yahoo group. And this was before they went ahead and censored racist Yahoo groups here. In any case, along comes May, and essentially you have this Russian named Yuri Kirienko, you have this Jew, named Franklin Wayne Poley, whose daddy was a Jew and whose mother was a Gentile. You end up having this Yair Davidi, who is a total Jew. His mother's a Jew, and his father was a Gentile, and he's a Jew rabbi. I mean, old Yair Davidi came out of Worldwide Church of God. He was trying to say, well, I'm trying to reconcile Judah and Ephraim together here. And I said, look, you're a dirty, you know, and Willie Martin was sort of, you know, buying that crap. But I said, look, you're a dirty Jew. You're a dirty, you know, you're a dirty kike. You don't belong among us. You're the spawn of Satan. Well, here comes, here's Nimala, there's Andy, there's Maggie, and the rest. And what they do is around in May, John Knight has, as a result of a bad divorce or something like that, you know, has a thing against women being allowed to vote. And essentially, this Andy Anderson went ahead and said that he would go ahead unless they kicked out John Knight, this atheist named Lee, and they kicked out Yuri Kirienko, the mad, bad Russian. Essentially, he would be, I went ahead and seen a picture. Old Yuri has a nose here, which would go ahead and hide, cover half of Hungary, and there's a lot of people speculated that he was a Jew. But he came over this country, found a Swedish-American woman, married her, had a son by her, and she went ahead and divorced him and took the kid. And so Yuri is just anti-American woman too. And essentially, I got along with Yuri just like you expect a Swede and a Russian to do, which was not very well, but since I never bothered to censor, old Yuri. But here comes old Andy Anderson. He's a single seed liner. He's all mad at Emmaheiser, declares war on Emmaheiser because Emmaheiser declared war on him. And on May, he goes ahead and says, this is 5 months after Y2KS has, gone bust. He goes ahead and he says that unless unless they go ahead and kick out these three people, he is going to go ahead and leave. And everybody says, well, go ahead and leave. Well, what he does is he comes back the next day, and he doesn't leave. Essentially, this one guy who nobody knows gives him control of the entire chat room. They go ahead and give him control of the list server. And what he does, he passes a set of rules after he bans old Yuri, John Knight, and he bans Yuri, John Knight, and the Atheist. And what I do is, in return, I go ahead and set up my own Yahoo group called Christian Nationalist. Call Andy Anderson, King Herod. I say, how dare you go ahead and censor people? How dare you go ahead and do this? Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows, you know, what you've done. You said you would leave. Instead, you've been given, without anybody voting for you, without anybody asking, you go ahead and immediately censor three people and kick them off the list. And I caused a fit, and after, what, 4 or 5 days, old Andy, he's trying to suck up to me, and I won't have it. I call him King Herod, and what Andy does is he just goes ahead and says that I accidentally self-unsubscribed myself. That's what, Hengist called, which is a lie. Essentially, I got banned from Holy Wars. Well, I went ahead and, I'd gone ahead and formed Christian Nationalist. And essentially, I went ahead and got sock puppets. I went ahead and spied. And, folks, this sort of thing is common throughout this movement here. You end up having Jews, you end up having Mamzers, you end up having Uyghurs. And essentially, you're saying something I don't like. I want to go ahead and have control over you, just like this Rita does. I'm going to leave unless I get my way. Well, they don't get their way, and neither do they leave either. They don't. And when this thing happened, everybody's in shock. Well, later on, Andy went ahead and got control of this website run by the, it's called G-O-A-L in Melvig. It's called God's Order Affirmed in Love. And essentially, they posted a bunch of Lothar Stoddard stuff. But essentially, it became what was known as the Church of True Israel. And now the Church of True Israel, it's been gone since September, or something like that. And I'm worried that old Jurel Mosley seems to have control over, you know, their former content. But in any case, back then, you also had what you'd pay $100 a year to have your emails to run a list server. And essentially, old Maggie and Debbie and Andy showed up. They went ahead and talked the guy who was running it for this other guy who actually owned it into going ahead and deleting all these people, banning all these people, including the owner of the list. That lasted for about a month, and then the renewal came up and say, well, we'll let you back on if you'll pay for another year. And the guy said, okay, I'll pay for another year. He got back on. He regained control, and he went ahead and booted Andy, Maggie, Debbie, her meerkat, and another retard. And essentially, they whined, and he didn't go ahead and renew it. He didn't pay $100. He just said to hell with it. But, folks, throughout this movement, as long as you've had internet, you've had people who go ahead and they get on, and they immediately censor and block and kick off people. And so what's the proper thing? Well, it's just like a Jew taking over a country. The Jew takes over a country, and then it makes it hard for the white man to go ahead and live. The proper response is for the white man to go ahead and reform his own institutions, to which Jews and race traitors are not allowed, and, you know, in the interim, act like a sort of Cossack. And that's what I've been doing with Eli James, and that's what I've been doing with Finkelschini, and that's what I've been doing with Dan Johns. I got kicked off of TalkShoe because of these Jews, and what I do is I just immediately counterattack. But folks, what I'm trying to say is this is not the first time. Now, Nimala is one seedliner, and essentially he's a lot more slick than what he used to be. But way back when I knew him, you know, back on the time when Holy Wars was in, you know, eventually Holy Wars got sort of embarrassing with all these old posts here. And what they did is I think old Andy went ahead and nuked it a couple of times. And now Andy is on one of these little bitty, you know, ones here, and he's pretty well, nobody hears of him. Nobody sees him anymore. But back in this one time, you end up having to where Holy War, after about, in April, in April of 2002, or March 2002, they went ahead and kicked off Hengist. They went ahead and kicked off pretty well all the other dual seed liners 3 weeks later. And, as far as this evil that's concerned here, Nima is a Finnish Jew. He's a Finnish Jew who has, back in 2000, 2001, 2002, he would go ahead and keep on saying, well, dual seed line Christian identity is based upon the Talmud. It comes from the Talmud. Why, the Talmud goes ahead and says that Satan, Well, he said it's based upon the Talmud, and what happens is that, no, the real thing is no seed line. Now, Debbie and her little meerkat, they believe in no Satan, Nemo, he pretends to be a single seed line.
He doesn't believe in Satan either.
Okay, well, he's changed that. He used to go ahead and believe that, no, it's a lie. He used to pretend to be a one-seed liner. He used to pretend to be from British Israel. What he would say is that, dual-seed liner is derived from the Talmud, because it says in the Talmud that the Jews are derived from Satan. So me and Hengist would say, okay, Jew boy, how do you know so much about the Talmud? Where in the Talmud does it admit that you dirty Jews are the spawn of Satan? Tell me, Jew boy. And Nemo didn't know what to say because...
Well, I've heard that, Martin. I've heard that. I mean, I wouldn't know where it is, but I've heard that.
Well, the truth of the matter is the Talmud actually does sort of hint in a roundabout way that Jews are descended from Lucifer. Don't say he's descended from Satan, and doesn't exactly out and out put it, but very strongly implies that Cain was descended from Lucifer, was Lucifer's son. You know what I mean? And that the Jews are descended from... It doesn't out and out say it here, but it does say it.
I believe the rabbis say that in the synagogues, that they descend from Satan, I believe.
Well, it's sort of like being a Mason. When you're a first-degree Mason here, when they first go ahead and round you up here, like they did my dad and, my grandpa, essentially my dad and grandpa, they play at being Masons here, but I don't think they ever got beyond one degree. I mean, it's sort of like these, it used to be, especially up north around in South Dakota, you see these IOOF halls. I always wonder what the heck was
it. What does that mean?
IOOF?
Yeah.
It means International Order of Odd Fellows. Essentially what it is, it's masonry for Wigger doofuses. The old school here. I don't think there's any more IOOF halls being made here. But it's masonry for doofuses. But supposedly, you become a master mason at 33 degree and above when you learn the secret, that the whole secret of masonry is to go ahead and serve the Jews by bringing all the Gentiles to serve the Jews and bring all the gold, to Solomon's temple, rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And essentially, the big secret supposedly when you're 33 degree is that essentially you're not serving, God or...
Worship Satan.
You're supposed to worship Satan. You're supposed to serve the Jews. And essentially that's the big secret. Now what happens is that your average Jew sort of knows that he's, Satan's kid, and he acts like a Jew. You can't expect anything from even an atheist Jew like Mark Patak, but essentially the rabbi Jews, in their Talmud, they go ahead and they, the little secret they let in is that, well, yes, we are descended from Cain. He was descended from Lucifer, the son of light. That's sort of like what one of these little pisser possums over at,
Martin, I'm getting tired.
Okay, but anyway.
I put my hobbling up on the screen.
Okay.
The Grand Masonic Lodge, so people know about it. They got Romney and Perry on a debate the other night. Mm-hmm. You got Paleo Romney and you got Mahabo and Perry. They should shake hands with each other, all special handshakes and all that nonsense.
Oh, okay. Well, that might be the case here. But anyway, what Maggie did is she had me kicked off the Grammy Telephone Company. And then, then I got on to a different internet service provider. And Namala, Andy and Maggie. Well, Maggie was sort of scared off. Nimala and Andy tried to have me kick off my new internet service provider. I went ahead and complained to Earthlink, and essentially Earthlink said, hey, don't you be messing with other people's internet, or we're going to go ahead and cut your internet. And essentially that's what kept Nimala from messing with my internet connection. Essentially, just like a Jew, Nimala's behavior is no different than Eli James's and Brian Reel's. I mean, what they will try to do is they will try to go ahead and cut you off. Old Maggie went ahead and bitched and whined and pissed and moaned because essentially Maggie was all mad because she thought I betrayed her because I was, against women speaking in church. And I said,
I'm going to hang up right now.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you later. But essentially, Nimala is a finished Jew. Okay?
Yeah, I know. I've heard you say that many times.
Well, the thing about it is, he acts just like a Jew. And you see his new stuff here.
This guy, 19, doesn't know what he's talking about. They've got many handshakes.
Well, I'm sure.
Have many. 19 says Masons don't have a handshake. He can go on the internet and look up Masonic symbols or Masonic signs. I'm sure it's all there on the internet. Look up Mahabon for Masons. Look up Paleo for Mormons.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not really an expert on how many handshakes,
But it's on the internet, though.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it is. The thing about it is, it's true if it's on the internet, though.
Well, Martin, I've been studying over 25 years.
Oh, have you?
On the internet, to my knowledge, it agrees with everything I've ever known.
Okay, well, there's probably some people go on there, and I don't think they're supposed to be telling all the little secrets of Masonry,
but they do, don't they? Wide open now. The Grand Masonic Word is Mahabon. The Grand Hailing Sign of Distress is, Oh Lord, my God, is no help for the widow's son. Look up just the widow's son on the internet and see what pops out.
I've heard that. I've heard that. That was on the Hitler channel a couple times when you go ahead and listen, but... In any case, Nimala is anti-dual seed line. He's always been anti-dual seed line. I've gone ahead and looked at what you and your Greek friend are exchanging. He's got a lot more polished, in the past 10 years.
You should see this guy. This guy gets four, puts a drawing up of Eli James. It's funny. I mean, just look at it yourself. I mean, if you can pull it up.
Okay. Anyway.
I don't know if it's true or not, but it's funny, it's all I can say.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let you go here. I mean, okay. I'll go ahead and send you some stuff. It's just that Nimala is a finished Jew. He doesn't like a dual seed line at all.
This guy forces Ron Paul, the 33rd degree Mason. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've questioned maybe Ron Paul's a Jew because he's come out supporting the Jews now too, and it's a lot. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I went ahead and blocked old Peter Goodman because he's posting interracial.
Was he really?
Yeah, he's posting interracial porn and saying that it's old Mona. It's not old Mona, but essentially, no interracial porn. No homosexual porn. I mean, you're sort of spamming it, but also he's going ahead and sending that sort of thing. Essentially, no homosexual or interracial porn, okay?
You and I are the biggest advocates of freedom of speech, but there are some limits, some of the stuff.
Well, there's some limits. I mean, the thing about it is that I have to go ahead, if I go ahead and post it, I have to go ahead and, he puts me to botheration, of having to go ahead and, spend time deleting his silliness. And, folks, I don't mind actual freedom of speech, but on the other hand, you've got to go ahead and honor it for other people here. And by going ahead and posting a bunch of porno links, that's a limit here. And, I've already told him, two shows back here to stop doing that. He kept on doing it, so hey.
Well,
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to go ahead and let you go, Russ. But essentially, your Greek woman is, you know, your Greek woman doesn't know Nemo's a Jew. You might go ahead and tell her. You might go ahead and tell her that. I mean, that dirty Jew boy tried to go ahead and have me censored off my new internet connection because Maggie had gone ahead and done it. I mean, that's just what a Jew does. He's an ancient, you know, the critter must be 82 or so. But he's not, you know.
He could be in the 80s by now. I mean,
well, he's, but you know, he's 72 back in 2001, so that'd make him 82.
Right. Maybe right.
That'd make him 82 now. And he used to go ahead and talk. Well, back when I was born in 1920 or so, you know, my relatives went ahead and married a Swedish Jew and an Armenian Jew and this sort of Jew.
Everyone, I want to take off. I'll see you.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye. Anyway, we used to go ahead and tell people the reason that Nemo's aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters married Jews is because Nemo is a Jew. I mean, in any case, you know, I mean, I'm sort of disgusted to hear that old Nemo. You know, Hengist used to call him Nemo, you know, Toad. I used to call him Nemo Turd. So, essentially, old Nematode and the rest are still alive. But, folks, throughout this history, what you end up having is these people go ahead and they claim to be our brethren. And what the first thing they do, once they go ahead and get a position of strength, they immediately go ahead and censor you. And, you know, Maggie bitch did. You know, essentially, Clint Downey does it over on Sperm Front here. And as a result, when I got back on using the cellular internet connection, I'd been pretty well, you know, having to drive over to Monette, and essentially I loaned a computer and I'd go ahead and download off my Monette.com, server. I'd just go ahead and download off from there whatever I needed, cut it to a CD, or floppy. And then go ahead and look, you know, at all the stuff that was there. And essentially, I just go ahead and slurp down a bunch of data from the, from a dial-up connection here. So, in any case, throughout the time, it's the same thing here. You have these people who claim to be of you. Be it JT Reddy, be it Rita, you know, be it Rita Bradley, be it Clint Downey, be it Maggie. And they don't get their way, they insist that in order to get their way, they get to censor you. And that's exactly what the hell they do. They do censor. So, folks, let's see how much time I have. I have, 32 minutes? I'm going to go ahead and take another break. Hail victory. This occurred on October 9th, 2001. And essentially, you know, on October 9th, they decided to cut off my ISP, you know, at the Granby Telephone Company. And they had a Granby pig who would go ahead and deliver the thing. And then a little while later, he went ahead and, based upon his own little say-so, he went ahead and took my grandchildren for the first time. You know, based upon what my stepdaughter's stupid second husband went ahead and went lashing out his little foot, you know, and kicked my stepson, my retarded grandson, in the mouth here and split his lip. And then here you have these, these public school teachers go ahead and, you know, go ahead and report to authorities and they take your kids. Now, folks, they ought to just simply, I mean, you know, as I look at people go ahead and say, well, Martin, you're mean, because you don't accept excuses from regime criminals. You just simply say if a regime criminal goes ahead and destroys a family, the only penalty there should be is that essentially you go ahead and exterminate that police, the entire, police force. You go exterminate the social workers. You exterminate the ones who go ahead and work for the government. And that is how things were done in an Israelite society. You didn't have anybody who was unaccountable with their power. And if their power was used to go ahead and destroy somebody else, then the response was that you destroyed them. Folks, this show is not about going ahead and forming a militia or forming anything like that. It's about saving yourself when things go ahead and they fall apart. But anyway, here's this bitch, old Maggie. She goes ahead and essentially makes a complaint to the Granby Telephone Company, and the Granby Telephone Company has a monopoly. Now, I don't think they should have had a monopoly, but now it doesn't really matter. I do have, Roxy has an account with the Granby Telephone Company, but essentially all we do is use it for incoming calls. Because essentially after they pulled that shit, I went ahead and got me a cell phone. Got me a cell phone with the cheapest provider. And nowadays, well, hey, for $45, you can go ahead and essentially have, internet service through a cell phone. Essentially, I don't need the Granby Telephone Company. And as a result, because nobody except these old people are going ahead and maintaining a landline, a lot of people just simply said, to hell with the landline. Essentially, well, you'll have these telephone services, which run perfectly acceptable telephone service, go ahead and to where they don't have hardly any customers. This other outfit, essentially has, in many cases, taken over internet for the Granby Telephone Company. Now, the Granby Telephone Company does maintain a line here, and supposedly Brian Real was going ahead and talking to them, and supposedly the Granby Telephone Company said, oh yeah, we'll go ahead and ban or censor Lindstedt anytime you want. Folks, these private corporations that go ahead and go along with censorship and the rest, essentially they need to be treated like criminals, and I think they will be treated as criminals when things start falling apart. But anyway, here's this bitch, and she starts out, she went ahead and made a complaint, from Stouffer Communications to Martin Lindstedt, customer warning issued. Dear JSCOM customer, please be informed a complaint has been issued against you. Refer to the below listed rules in your service agreement. We assume this warning will be sufficient, but if we receive more such complaints, further action will be mandatory. And essentially it was this brdsms@bellsouth.net. And essentially, I went ahead and pointed is that she'd made this complaint, she'd initiated threats against myself and my family, and she got mad because I went ahead and said is that according to the Apostle Paul's admonition in 1 Corinthians 14:34 through 35, that women, especially females like herself, were to keep silent in church. And she screeched and she had a fit about it. Now, this occurred in 2000. After Y2 chaos, essentially, turned bust here. And essentially, she was also known as Gabrielle, and she was also known, she was a good friend of Debbie Downey. Debbie Downey, you know, Debbie Downey's belief in No Devil or Sheldon Emery essentially dates from the way that she has been, quote, treated by dual seed line Christian Denny men, specifically myself and Willie Martin. We went ahead and found out she was a big slut. We went ahead and found out she was a big whore. I went ahead and settled with her the moniker of Clint Downey. But Sheldon Emery, he came up with this stuff. Dave Barley is a race mixer. He does not believe in dual seed line Christian Denny because, hey, he believes that we're all little equals here. And he's married a Mexican woman. He had a whole bunch of Mexican brass by her. He don't believe in dual seed line. Heck, he don't believe in, well, he believes in supposedly single seed line. Ted Wieland and the rest, they come up with this crap here. You know, essentially, they're just bail priests. Now, most of them are just Whigger bail priests. This Charles Weissman used to be Pete Peters' pet Jew. Now, Pete Peters is dead, and I guess the Jew has to go ahead and go off by itself here. So you have all these people, they show up, and the first thing they do is they go ahead and censor people. And that's what this Meggie did. Now, what I did is I went ahead and bought a cell phone. Not going to go ahead and spend any money on long-distance service to the Grammy Telephone Company. I go ahead and use a calling card if need be. And, folks, I do like receiving an inbound call here. But you have had, throughout this movement, why don't you, you know, I'm going ahead looking at some of this stupid crap here. And you have this crap on Nimbusters here. I guess Nimbusters think this is just Nimbusters Radio, you know, part two. But, getting on with it, you have these people, and they've always been, throughout the movement, they've been Jews, they've been all sorts of other creatures. And what they have done is to, well, get in to censor and then whine that other people are slandering them or saying something, you know, which is perfectly true about them. And they have this fit here. In any case, more and more, Zog is going ahead and claiming that people like myself or whatever is not a, quote, official journalist here. For example, where am I at? I'll go ahead and post this thing here. Recently, a federal judge said so much for the First Amendment to the Bill of Goods. This judge went ahead and said, let me see if I can go ahead and look at it again here. Where is it? Federal judge, Montana blogger is not a journalist. The federal judge in Oregon has ruled that a Montana woman sued for defamation was not a journalist when she posted online that an Oregon lawyer acted criminally during a bankruptcy case, a decision with the implications for bloggers across the country. Crystal Cox, a blogger from Eureka, Montana, was sued for defamation by attorney Kevin Padrick when she posted online he was a thug and a thief during the handling of bankruptcy proceedings by him and Obsidian Finance Group, LLC. Oh, by the way, this Crystal Cox, I went ahead and noticed her on the NPR blog about April Gady. I guess old Crystal Cox was pretty well... Well, I guess she was in favor of freedom of speech here. She was in favor of people deciding to be what they wanted to be. And so it says that this U.S. District Judge Marco Hernandez, well, it sounds like a beaner to me. And folks, how in the world can you go ahead and have white man's law if you don't have white men? If you end up having a judge which goes ahead and gets in, does he have any allegiance to white man's law? And the answer is he doesn't. Doesn't at all. But then again, you don't have hardly any white men left, you know, left anymore. They do essentially whatever the hell they want to do. But he went ahead and ruled that as a blogger, Cox was not a journalist and cannot claim the protection afforded to mainstream reporters and news outlets. Well, folks, when did the constipation go ahead and give special treatment, special rewards to, well, to, you know, to journalists? Folks, it seems like the First Amendment to the Bill of Goods applies to everyone. Everyone who wants to go ahead and essentially create his own newspaper, create his own blog, create it online or however else here. Now, I'm quite sure this Crystal Cox doesn't have the money to go ahead and file, you know, in appeals court. I'm not sure what district she would be in. She might be in the 7th, you know, or the 10th. I don't think she's in the 9th. But essentially, here's this beaner judge, pretend to be a federal judge, and what he does is he goes ahead and says that, you know, she don't have any rights to go ahead and use the wonderful First Amendment to the Bill of Goods. Well, folks, here you have all these Jews like Eli James and Finkelschini and the rest here. Well, you don't have a right to go ahead and say is that they're lying Jews. You don't have a right to go ahead and say is that Brian Reel's a mamzer. You don't have a right to go ahead and do this or anything else. Essentially, you don't have any rights that the government need respect at all. None whatsoever. So when that occurs, why should you or anyone else here go ahead and obey any law? If, you know, the government can't go ahead and obey any law. What you end up having, especially, you know, within the financial, you know, sphere, like these farmers, you know, for MF Global, they went and found that money they had on reserve, which was not to be touched, was stolen by John Corzoni. And he goes ahead and he claims, well, you don't know what happened to it. What John Corzoni tried to do is he tried to go ahead and double down using the customer's money, double down on Greek debt, and essentially he wasn't able to go ahead and use his pull to go ahead and essentially make the Greek government go ahead and pay off on this risky bonds. That's exactly what the heck happened. So as a result, the people who are in power, Wall Street and the rest, they get to do whatever the hell they want to do, and they get to go ahead and steal your home, go ahead and do something to where you lose your job. And in the meantime, here you have these retards and these, quote, journalists, these whores, claiming that somehow, that they will, you know, somehow bring back manufacturing jobs, bring back the middle class. And what gets me is that the worst lying whore, the worst lying criminal, the worst, you know, the worst of the idiots who you cannot trust, old Newt Gingrich getting rich, is supposedly going to go ahead and win the Republican nomination. Well, folks, I'm not going to vote for a nigger, but I sure as hell am not going to vote for a piece of shit Republican either. And certainly not Newt Gingrich getting rich. Now, I don't much care for Romney either, because he's another lying retard who went ahead and will say anything to get elected. Essentially, there's nobody to vote for. Nobody that you want to bother voting for. Why even mess with it? Why even screw around with it? Why at all? And the answer is no reason to go ahead and go along with this stuff. No reason to go ahead and put up with this nonsense whatsoever. None at all. In any case, what I've been trying to say is that I have been through this movement before, and immediately, the first sign that someone is a Jew, someone is a mamzer, someone is a tard, someone isn't what he pretends to be, is that he practices censorship. Now, I have gone ahead, and said before, I've gone ahead and muted a few people, or blocked a few people, you know, but then again, it's because, well, hey, they were told not to do it. You know, not to go ahead and troll the chat rooms, not to go ahead and do any of this other weird, you know, wild and weird shit. You know, not to go ahead and put, you know, not to go ahead and start this crap here. And yet they did. And am I surprised? The answer is, well, no. Not at all. I'm not surprised at retards being retards. Why should anyone be surprised at that? Anyway, let's see. Well, I got about 16 minutes. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and go on with what this judge said here. Although media expert says Wednesday the ruling would have little effect on the definition of journalism, it casts a shadow on those who work in non-traditional media since it highlights the lack of case law that could protect them and the fact that current state shield laws for journalists are not covering recent developments in online media. Well, folks, it sort of like reminds me on Harold Covington's book number 5, to where essentially the newspapers have altogether faded away except for highly subsidized New York Times and Washington Post newspapers, which essentially are just run to go ahead and claim that they have an actual media. You've had these people in the media claim that the government should go ahead and subsidize them as newspapers. Well, the answer is that no, it should not. Shouldn't do it at all. Should not at all subsidize any newspapers at all. But that also means it shouldn't subsidize them by going ahead and giving them extra predictions that ordinary people do not have. This Beaner has essentially gone ahead and claimed that there are special privileges if you are a mainstream media type who has lost readership, who has lost listeners, who have lost pretty well everybody because nobody pays attention to them anymore. Nobody listens to them anymore. It wasn't until you end up having, well, essentially what you end up having on Facebook and on TalkShoe. Now, TalkShoe has gone ahead and censored me, and I've gotten away around that by simply going ahead and setting up a small, sort of guerrilla TalkShoe, I guess, here, to where TalkShoe does not control the switch of this show. If it goes ahead and shuts me down, it'll take me about a half hour. And it would take a little bit longer. Seems like even Ashkenazi Asswipe has gone ahead and found out where the movement turd is hiding out. And so is Obagender Bender, so as the rest of these tards here. You have Rabbi Samuelson, from what I gather, that's Visser. And then the rest of these just are Nimbusters. But folks, whenever you have somebody who goes ahead and claims that he wants your own good, and that's why he gets to decide what you go ahead and listen to, he's not on your side. He's no different than a Jew. This is what Jews have done throughout history. They go ahead and they claim to be persecuted, and they appeal to the decency of the white people they go ahead and infiltrate. And then they get in and they start taking over. They start ruling, so to speak, here. And then once they go ahead and they take over, they decide what they want to go ahead and allow to be spoken, what allow to be said. They go ahead and grant their favorites privileges, like I said in, 2 Samuel, I think chapter 10 or so. They go ahead and grant their favorites privileges, and the rest of us don't have any, quote, such privileges. We don't even have any, quote, rights. So anyway, this Patrick of Bend, Oregon, was a trustee in a bankruptcy case involving Summit Accommodators, a company that helps property owners conduct real estate transactions as a way to limit taxes. Three executives faced federal fraud and money laundering indictments. The lawyer sued Koch for defamation, a legal fight that's typically difficult for plaintiffs to win. Public figures, for example, must prove defendant knew the statement in question was false, and the statement must be matters of public interest. But this judge goes ahead and finds that Patrick is not a public figure and that the bankruptcy case was not in the public interest. Well, folks, why should a judge go ahead and find out that? I mean, I would think that Mrs. Cox would decide that it should be a jury who goes ahead and decides that, not a judge. One judge is subject to bribery, is subject to intimidation, is subject to essentially doing whatever the hell he wants to do. Not what should be done. It said that, you know, the ruling opened the way for a jury to award $2.5 million to Patrick and Obsidian. So essentially, this money laundering operation, this lawyer get $2.5 million from this woman who doesn't even have a million? Essentially, the courts have been used. And what should have happened? What should have happened is that essentially what happened, the foreman should have been rounded up, branded, and skinned. And the rest of them branded with 666 and essentially be made to work as slaves, them and the family here. I mean, as I look at it, there is no protection for being a jury member. If you go ahead, you rule in favor of Zog, and Zog goes ahead and falls apart, you deserve whatever the hell you get. How dare? How dare they go ahead and rule in favor of a scum-sucking lawyer who should not be allowed to have any special privileges to practice law or do anything else, and go against this woman who essentially wrote something that they didn't like. Now, folks, I go ahead and say a number of things that people do not like at all. And I've had Brian Real threaten me with defamation and libel, and he's going after my internet service provider. Anyway, let's see. Hello.
Hey, come on, I made it home.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Well, that was Emily. Anyway, what you have is a court system. You have a legal system. You have pretty well everything, which is done to pot. And here you have this character, this judge, this federal judge, deciding that essentially the First Amendment doesn't apply to everyone. That certain journalists have special rights, and that lawyers have special rights to not be talked about, for their case not to be talked about. Well, folks, if it is a court proceeding, it should be public knowledge here. I mean, and that includes family court. If you end up having somebody goes ahead and steal somebody's family, that should be known about it. Essentially, the people who want secrecy, the people who don't want things to be talked about, are up to no good. Up to no good whatsoever. That's what gets me, is that I've gone ahead, and throughout my time in the bowel movement, I've shown my face. People know my address. In some cases, they even know my telephone number. I don't hide anything at all. But here you have these characters like Eli James. He goes ahead and he went ahead and took down this blog where he was going ahead and talking. Where he was going ahead talking about Marty is hiding in plain sight here. Marty is a master manipulator. Yeah, I go ahead and I tell the truth as I see it. In any case, this one guy says is that the ruling is significant because so little case law has been built up on online media. But this woman believes it won't have very much impact on bloggers until a United States Supreme Court takes up a case or more federal courts rule. And I don't know. I don't know if this Cox woman probably don't have the money to go ahead and defend herself against a rogue jury and a rogue lawyer and a rogue judge like that. You're going to have more and more and more of this sort of thing, but increasingly, people aren't going to go ahead and honor, these courts. I mean, for example, Obamacare, where essentially white people have to go ahead and buy insurance in order to pay for, free medical costs for beaners and niggers. Essentially, it's supposed to go to the Supreme Court. Let's say the Supreme Court goes ahead and rules the white people got to go ahead and buy insurance or go to jail or face a fine. What's going to happen when white people just say, fuck you, I'm not going to go in and buy insurance, I'm not going to pay the fine. You come to my house, I'm going to kill your ass, pigs. What's going to happen when people who no longer have jobs here are not able to go ahead and buy health insurance or anything like that? What happens when people who still have money decide they're not going to go ahead and buy health insurance? What do you do then? I was going ahead and look at the Republican debate, and what they've done is they've gone ahead and made health insurance more and more expensive by simply limiting the amount of doctors and the amount of hospitals allowed to go ahead and provide something. They've gone ahead and curtailed the supply, and they've gone ahead and expanded demand by saying that, well, essentially niggers and beaners get for free, you can't turn them away. So what happens when you go ahead and you raise demand, you short supply? And the answer of it is the cost of everything goes up here. This Carl Denger says is that health insurance has gone up by 9%, well, 9.5% per year. Okay? Well, if you go ahead and compound that at the end of 7 years, essentially the price has gone ahead and doubled in that time. And meanwhile, productivity, meanwhile, the amount of money being brought into the system to pay for it has gone down. For example, they're talking about essentially fighting about whether or not they will have people not spend as much money on Social Security. Okay. What happens is that here's these Republican candidates admitting that they have robbed and looted Social Security Trust Fund. There is no trust fund. And essentially what you're doing is you're talking about a government, program, entitlement program, which they have made people pay for and made people go ahead and work for. And essentially the money is not going to be used for it. It's going to go ahead and be spent for other things. But, oh, by the way, we're not going to go ahead and even maintain, the system of benefits we have by, well, essentially we're not going to go ahead and have people even pay for them. We're going to go ahead and give them a $50 a month, tax cut. Okay. So in short, how long are you going to be able to go ahead and borrow money when people figure out that you're not able to go ahead and pay it back? If you do pay it back, you're going to go ahead and pay it back in just printed money. Like Lawson Sartre says, about pretty well every government collapse in modern times has been caused by risky public financing. Essentially, going ahead and being sent to pay out more than what you can take in on taxes. And folks, you have fewer and fewer people able to go ahead and work. People able to go ahead and have a job. What's the end result? The end result is that pretty soon, probably even before the election takes place, you're going to end up having a collapse. Even though the election isn't going to mount to anything, because, hey, it doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat, they're both going to go ahead and screw each other over. Okay? So what to do in this wonderful bowel movement? Why I say what to do in this bowel movement is start looking to take care of yourself. Don't worry about saving Washington. Don't worry about saving even your local county seat. Certainly don't worry about saving your crooked state government. You worry about saving yourself. You worry about going ahead and making sure you have enough to eat. You have a means of protecting yourself. In many cases, you're going to have to decide which one of your family you want to go ahead and carry over with you to the other side. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take another break. And if Mona Montgomery wants to call in, that's fine. Hail victory. Look at me, I'm April Gady, horny as a skank can be. I'll gobble your cock, yes, you're an Aryan rock. Sure enough, I'm April Gady. Thump it! Hey, I'm Wigger Swill. Beat my hogs like Buffalo Bill. Slap all them skanks, don't expect me no thanks. Long as I do get my fill. I don't wait, no prayer, don't de-louse, give me care. I get full from one blue job. Get your mamzer paws on my silky jaws. You can't pull that crap with a net.
bad for you, Hal Covington. I know what you don't want done. Don't want pussy crust. I'm no object of lust. I'm just old April Gady. Calgy, Calgy, let me be. Says keep that poon gang far from me. See, I cool now. I'm starting to drool. Can't forget. I'm April Gady.
Are you making fun of me, Pope Marty?
Some people are so fucking touchy.
Okay, folks, we're back for another section of the Movement Turd. And, there ain't too much going on in the bowel movement. Other than the same old silly, silly, silly shit. And, folks, I was pretty well, you know, pretty well, this is the 100th episode, although it's not really the 100th episode. I need to go ahead and do a number of things, and one of the things I need to do is go ahead and get a list on archive.org on the congressional,
hold on now, Marty, it's alright.
Okay, we got the Tard from Oregon.
Fine. It's normal. It's natural. It's all right.
I guess.
We're friends here, and we support you.
Okay.
We support you, Mark.
Well, thank you.
Where's that Russell? Where's Russell?
Russell's probably in bed.
What? Hey, tell us about the bowel movement now.
Hmm? Okay, well, all right. If you're listening here.
Thanks, Adam. Tell us about how you abused your grandson.
Well, that didn't happen.
Didn't he enjoy that? Didn't you like being in a mental institution for all those years? What did you learn there, Marty? Did you tell us?
Hmm.
Tell us, Marty.
Anyway, it looks like I got a real live tard on the thing here.
Besides, you were some fraud, Marty. You tell the world all about it and don't censor a thing.
I'm censoring anything. I don't think this is worth.
Hang up on his ass. You can't handle the truth.
I'm not hanging up on you at all here, but you do realize this show is not being.
You must have attention. You need attention, Marty. You need attention in order to feel fulfilled, and you know that, Marty.
Hmm. You. Well, what's your real name? What's your real name?
Marty.
What's your real name? What's your real name? Huh? Well, no, it's not. Okay, well, head on out. Anyway.
Tell us, Marty. Tell us what you learned in the insane asylum. Did you learn some new tricks?
Hmm?
Did you learn your Jewish child abusing tricks, you sick little fucker? I think you did, didn't you? Tell us about them now, Marty.
It sounds like you know quite a few Jewish insane tricks.
Marty, really, you've met your mash, haven't you? Should you just give up now?
Hold on.
Kill yourself, Marty. Kill yourself.
Well, sounds like I got a real freakazoid. Calling supposedly from Oregon. What do you need, dear?
I'll make you pull these socks off.
Well, let's not mess with it right now.
Pull them off, they're hurting my feet.
Well, why didn't you pull them off?
Because I can't.
Okay.
It'll take 5 minutes.
Alright. Pull your socks off.
Yes.
I thought you need them socks on.
No, I don't. Okay.
That it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it looks like the tard has left the chat room. Anyway, I'll probably go ahead and leave some of that on, but I'm not going to go ahead and boost it in order to listen to it. Folks, you have all these sort of characters, and they tell you far more about them when they're talking about you. Now, someone who goes ahead and usually goes ahead with kill yourself, Marty. I mean, it's usually it's just some sort of criminal. This probably is probably a pervert of his own here. He probably spent some time in prison. Like this Kentucky Chomo Melungeon here character, Shady Boob. I mean, don't have a real job. Essentially, they're just, you know, I have seen these perverts, and essentially they don't know how to behave. And they think that everybody else is just like them. So what do you do about such critters like that? And the answer is you just go ahead and you try to detect them. And when you detect them, you go ahead and you deal with them. You know, in a rather harsh manner. But, you know, there's nothing you really can do about critters like that. Any more you can deal with unknown fucktard. You go ahead and you find out who these characters are. And for now, you can't do anything with them here. But for now, you can go ahead and mark them for what they are here, just like old Visser. I mean, Visser's still probably mad that essentially he had to reveal himself as a Bamser in order to get out of a stalking charge last year. He's mad as heck that, you know, essentially he doesn't have much of a ministry left anymore. But then again, that's Visser's problem. Because Visser is the one who went ahead and kept on taking down his forums and the rest of the stuff here. Anyway, you have quite a bit of censorship by these people who show up, and they don't want to go ahead and, you know, let anybody go ahead and look and see what's going on. I'm going to go ahead and read about what Jesus Christ did with these Edomites, or what he did, and folks, the way of these degenerates, the way of these perverts, does not change one bit. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ said, "Then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples." So he's speaking to a pretty well good crowd here, of whom the main one listening is his disciples. He says, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Essentially, he was saying like it was the same as this lawyer. These lawyers and these, quote, religious leaders, wannabe religious leaders who aren't really set because they're not Levites. They don't really belong among there. But they sit. They've gone ahead and sit in Moses' seat. Somehow they've gotten into Moses' seat. They didn't really belong there, but somehow they got in there. They wormed their way in there somehow. Verse 3. "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Essentially, it's just like, well, say Newt Gingrich. He goes ahead and he was bitching about Clinton getting a blowjob from a Esther Kikas. Here he is dipping his wick at the same time. He bitches about Barney Fagg getting money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. In the meantime, he's getting a couple million from them themselves here. He's not a lobbyist. Well, the answer is yes, he is. But going on, "For they lay heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." In short, they like laying burdens on other people. They like laying moral burdens, legal burdens, financial burdens. But they themselves have made themselves exempt from it. They're not going to go ahead and lift up these burdens that they lay on other people. Just like in my, you know, just like in my appellate court lawsuit. Essentially, these people have the notion that they get to go ahead and make laws, make rules for white people to obey, but white people don't get to run for public office, either at state or federal level. White people don't get to go ahead and vote for other racist white people. I gotta laugh with, you know, this bowel movement, which goes ahead and thinks that somehow they can go ahead and peacefully restore democracy and vote themselves, you know, vote themselves to be free of all these parasites, all these Jews, all these niggers, all the rest here. That's not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. Verse 5. "But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." what Jesus Christ is saying is that, you know, they don't bother to go ahead and obey their own burdens. They don't bother to go ahead and do what they should do. But rather, they do that so that they can make themselves a big moral spectacle while they themselves don't even obey their own nonsense. Verse 6, and love the uppermost rooms of feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Verse 7, greetings in the markets, and to be called a man rabbi, rabbi. Verse 8, but be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. Verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Verse 11, but he is greatest among you shall be your servant. Verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, nor suffer ye them their entering to go in. Well, folks, that's exactly what the heck Finkelstein and Eli James do. They go ahead and they come in and they want to change the doctrine of dual seed line Christian identity. It's a rather simple doctrine. What Christian identity says is that us white people are the lost, you know, tribes of the house of Israel. And what happens to the dual seed line version holds is that, hey, Jews and Mamzers, well, Jews are the spawn of Satan, and that the non-whites, you know, are the six-day beasts of the field, and that the Mamzers are just simply abominations. That's a rather simple thing. As far as the works, why, if the law, just like Joe Pennsylvania said, if the law of Yahweh is written upon your heart, Why is it so difficult to go ahead and obey Yahweh's laws? And the answer is it shouldn't be. Shouldn't be at all. You should not want to go ahead because it should hurt you. It should hurt you in your heart to go ahead and disobey Yahweh. So, what do you need more and more stuff that Rabbi Finkelstein wants to go ahead and bring into Christianity? How come you need more and more, you know, crap about stuff that doesn't really matter as to whether or not Yahweh will go ahead and resurrect muds, resurrect them, and then judge them, and either set them to work picking virtual cotton, according to Eli James, or just go ahead and burn them alive forever and ever, according to Finkelstein? What difference does it make? Does any real Christian identity expect to see a bunch of niggers in heaven? And the answer is, I don't. I haven't gone ahead and even bothered to worry about it very much here. Now, I wasn't taught, at least in the Worldwide Church of God, any such stupid crap. Essentially, I was taught is that, hey, we're not, you know, none of us are immortal. The only one who's going to go ahead and suffer forever and ever and ever is Satan the devil for Satan's sundry crimes, because Satan is able to be punished because Satan is made of a spiritual essence. Not a fleshly essence, a spiritual essence. But here you have these people, you know, like Finkelstein and the rest, claiming for all practical point of view here, be it Nimla, you know, Clint Downey and the rest here claiming there's no Satan, you know, there's no Satan horseshit. It doesn't really matter how many times Satan is mentioned in the Bible, there is no Satan, according to what? Clint Downey, according to, you know, nematode. Well, folks, if there's no Satan, then what, you know, I mean, other than Pete Peters is dead, then who is the being that was called to task with whom Yahweh made a bet in Job chapter 1? And the answer is, well, you know, Mark Downey don't have an answer for it. None of these people know how to behave. None of these people know how to respond. They don't know anything except how to go ahead and run wild and, you know, fuss and fight and censor and ban and play their little games of control. essentially, Clint Downey, the only ones that go ahead and believe that she is Christian identity are these tards, or these retards, and most of them aren't allowed to post, so most of them don't bother to post. I certainly don't bother to post because, hey, I'll get detected real quick and kicked off. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnations. Folks, when you talk about go ahead and devouring a widow's home, what the heck do you think's happening now in the Zogland? Don't you think they've been going ahead and stealing the homes and the property of widows? And of about everybody they possibly could steal. I was reading when I was in the Nut House, I was reading Time Magazine to where, the Ohio State Attorney General is trying to go ahead and prevent these speculators from speculating ghetto properties, bidding them up way high, and then waiting for an inevitable default. And essentially, George Bush's control of the currency refused to go ahead and allow this sort of regulation by the states to prevail. Folks, these Jews have been going ahead and stealing people's houses for a long time here. And according to Christ, they were doing it back 2,000 or so years ago. Woe unto you, verse 15 of Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Yeah, Finkelshini. Yeah, you liar. You go ahead and you find that sort of tard corral, especially you, Finkelshini, or you liar, and you go ahead and make this Jew boy with crones twice the evil Jew with crones than he was when he was found. Verse 16. Woe unto you, you blind guys, which say, whoever shall swear by the throne is nothing, but whoever shall swear by the gold in the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, whether it's greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. And wherefore ye shall suffer by the altar is nothing. But he who sweareth by the gift thing that's upon it, he is guilty. Verse 22, he shall swear by heaven, swearing by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. So, it goes on here. It says, ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I've many times go ahead and listen to silliness from Finkelshini and the rest here talking about racial purity, and they literally will swallow a Brian Rio. They will go ahead and allow a Brian Rio while at the same time they're whining about racial purity. And both Eli James and Bill Fink had no problem at all whatsoever with Brian Real. They knew full well that the critter wasn't white, and yet here they are screaming about racial purity. Essentially, they go here and they swallow a mamzer. They strain out a mamzer and they swallow an elephant. That's exactly what the heck they did. Let's not be surprised by their behavior. The Pharisees' behavior has not changed in 2,000 years. A Jew's behavior, a Chaldean's behavior, has not changed in 7,000 years. A Jew remains a Jew. Going on, says, woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are likened to whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Verse 28, even so, ye are outwardly amongst righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This character went ahead on Oregon here. He wants to go ahead and talk about what I allegedly learned about child molestation. Just like, you know, just like unknown fucktard. And the answer that they don't wish to go ahead and hear is that, no, I didn't do it. But folks, you the way to go ahead and break a regime criminal of doing that is that essentially, if they destroy a family, you destroy theirs. You don't go ahead and appeal to their higher nature, their higher beliefs, because they don't have a higher nature. They don't have higher beliefs. They never did. And appealing to something they don't have is just altogether a waste of time. You're going ahead and casting pearls before swine and bread before dogs and expecting dogs and swine to love you for it. And the answers are not. They never will. So, you know, in Matthew 24, ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Well, folks, I have been persecuted. My family has been destroyed. I've been scourged. I've been killed, at least not yet. Folks, when Jesus Christ lays a burden upon you, it is up to you to go ahead and do it, not to go ahead and make excuses for why you cannot do it. And folks, the burden that I have is not to go ahead and to save evildoers, to save Jews and Mamzers, from their, you know, from their doom for what is already appointed to them, but rather it's to go ahead and warn off what good Israelites there are left to go ahead and avoid such people and to go ahead and save themselves. Let's see, verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, Adam's son, unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, who you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, thou stonest them which were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verse 39, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, do ye say, blessed is him that cometh in the name of the Lord. Folks, our house, what little is left of it, is going to be made desolate by this great tribulation, by this great collapse which is coming. And folks, until we go ahead and understand that we can't go ahead and save Mamzers, we can't go ahead and save Jews, we can't go ahead and save all this vermin which is among us, until we understand that we cannot go ahead and essentially save anybody other than ourselves, we're not out to go ahead and save, well, Oregon or, you know, unknown fucktard or critters like that here. We're not out to save Mamzers. We're not out to save all these other creatures. We're not out to save Jeremy Visser. We're not out to go ahead and save these characters who do not really, according to our law, belong among us, until we understand that what we need to do is save ourselves, need to save our families, need to go ahead and essentially look after our own and let Yahweh take the hindermost. We can't go ahead and change that. Like I was telling Russ Walker, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were not Canaanites. If they were Canaanites, they wouldn't have been any of this nonsense. Okay, I'll save Abraham if they're... Well, they weren't Israelites because Israel was about, oh, well, Israel, Jacob Israel was Abraham's grandson. Essentially, at that time, Abraham didn't have a son, much less a grandson. So they weren't Israelites, you know, but they weren't even Abrahamites. Essentially, they were Adamites. And as a result, when you go ahead and talk about the possibility of there being some righteous men, that means that essentially, as children of Adam, they were under some sort of law. Some sort of law. But just like, you know, just like this Oregon, you know, just like this Oregon creep, just like Jeremy Visser, just like all these other, you know, Eli James, Finkelschini, and the rest here, I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit from the little work that they did, right around Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, around evening time, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rise up to meet them, he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, you go ahead and look earlier where Abraham in there was a son. You know, the son was Ishmael, and he circumcised them. He circumcised Ishmael. He circumcised himself when he was 90 years old. Let's see. Okay. He went ahead and established the covenant, which was, among other things, circumcision. But in verse 14, you had the king to pass in the day of Arapho, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elar, title king of nations. These nations made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, and king of Admah, and king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Essentially, you had five kings. You had a number of kings from Mesopotamia, which went ahead and fought, went against, the cities of the plain where Lot was living. And they joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which was the Salt Sea, which later became known as the Dead Sea. Even though it was a Salt Sea. And they went ahead, and you had these kings rebel, and you have this thing to, they returning, went to En-Mishpat, which is Kadesh, also known as Megiddo. It's more all the country of the Amalekites and all the Amorites. So, you have these kings, and they go ahead and they go against these Canaanites, but they also go against the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they went ahead and took all the goods, and took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that escaped. He told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain. He went ahead and dwelt in the plain. And what Abraham did is he went ahead and got his servants, and he defeated these marauding kings who'd gone ahead and gone against the Canaanites. And essentially, Abraham didn't give a crap about what happened to the Canaanites. But he did care for what happened to his people here. And it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. There are some people who believe in the Worldwide Church of God that was Jesus Christ, but there's other people who believe that Melchizedek was Shem. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the kings that were with him here. And he went ahead and blessed them, blessed the Most High. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Essentially, the king of Sodom said, I don't care. Just go ahead and let me have my people, and you can go ahead and have the goods that have been plundered. And Abraham said in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 14, Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 23, thou will not take from a thread even to a shoe latch, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, a portion of the men which went with me. Let them take their portion. So essentially, a small portion
four servants and what, you know, what they went ahead and consumed and eating was about the only thing that he went ahead and took of the spoils after the king of Sodom said, hey, look, I'll give, go ahead and give it to you. Just let me have the people. Now, folks, this king of Sodom looked like he was an honorable man. And you know full well he wasn't a Canaanite. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar and the other couple cities and plains, they were not Canaanites. If they had been Canaanites, there wouldn't have been any talk about righteous, find me 50, find me, you know, find me 40, find me 30, find me 20, find me just 10. That you hear in Genesis chapter 18. But folks, it only takes a little while here for Whiggers to go ahead and become oh so self-righteous. Genesis chapter 19. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. He bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, verse 2, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall arise up early and go your ways. And they said, no, we will abide in the street all night. And verse 3, but he pressed them greatly, and he turned unto them, and entered into his house, and he did make them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Verse 4, but even before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all people from every quarter. Essentially, you had people of various degrees of state and of riches, because you would have, in many cases, a city divided into quarters of the rich, you know, the middle class such as there existed, and of the poor. So essentially, both young and old, rich and poor, went ahead and went around, and they wanted to get themselves. And they said, they called unto Lot, said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And essentially, I don't think they were going to go ahead and take in a date and a movie. Verse 6, Lot went out to the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye unto them as good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. He's offering to go ahead and let them have their have his daughters. Verse 9, they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. These rabid homosexuals who believed they had a right to, essentially, to rape and plunder strange men, they go ahead and tell Lot that it's going to go hard for you because, hey, how dare you judge us? So it reminds me of Ken Copeland, an evil mamzer. Going ahead, he's a sheriff, but only God can judge him. Well, folks, they were their own gods. They worshiped themselves. It's going to be harder for you than it's going to be for these people. We're going to go ahead and rape here because, you know, homosexually rape here because how dare you judge us? Now, it says later on, the men of Sodom is going to go ahead and judge Israel and judge them harshly because, hey, we have been gone ahead and been given far more than what the men of Sodom were, and we have not been worthy of what we have been given. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men which were, you know, these are the angels. They smote the men which were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door. They couldn't find the door. They were temporarily blinded. And the men said, Lot, hast you here any besides son-in-law and your sons and thy daughters and whatsoever you have in the city? Bring them out of this place. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws, which were married to his daughters. So he may have had a number of other daughters here. He may have had four daughters, who knows? Because he had son-in-laws. And said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked his
unto his sons-in-laws. When the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, I guess the ones that weren't married, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand upon the hand of his wife, upon the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. It came pass when they had brought him forth abroad, he said, escape your life, look not behind you, neither stay you in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and you have magnified thy mercy, which you have showed, you know, unto me, and saved my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, this city is near unto me, is a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto them, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, which I will not overthrow the city for which you have... you know, for which you have spoken. So essentially, they went in and saved this small little city. So he said, haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till you be come hither. Therefore, the name of the city is called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And then the Lord rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew on the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. See, she had been told not to look behind you, not to go ahead and worship, not to go ahead and dare judge Yahweh by going ahead and looking back. And she went ahead and disobeyed. And so she got turned into a pillar of salt. How many of us go ahead and love... how many people go ahead and love wickedness? How many people love evil far more than, you know, how many people love Zog far more than they love obeying Yahweh? Well, that's what happened to Lot's wife. But it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that he remembered Abraham and sent Lot into the midst of overthrow when he overthrew the cities which in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave, and he and his two daughters. Verse 31, the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Essentially, they thought there were only people left. So it's older, you know, so the oldest star, therefore, let us make our father drink wine, we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink with wine this night also, and go thou and lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine out of that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And she perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Verse 36, thus were both the daughters of Lot with children by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The second is the father of Moabites until this day. And the younger she also bare a son, Cain's name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon until this day. Well, later on, essentially, it wasn't a matter of race mixing like some of these retards want to tell you. Rather, what it is that they didn't welcome their kinsmen, the Israelites. They tried to go ahead and fight against them. And so as a result, in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, it was said that a Moabite shall not enter the kingdom of heaven forever. And they did mean that. They did indeed mean that. So, what to do and what to say? Folks, human nature has not changed. Even among the pure-blooded whites, and I don't know if these people of Sodom and Gomorrah were pure-blooded whites, but essentially they were not deemed as being mamzers. They were not deemed as being non-whites at all. But yet, here they were. They went ahead and judged. They went ahead and judged Lot. Because he dared to judge them. And they judged him harshly. They were going to go in and probably kill the man. It's going to be worse for him than it was for these strange men. They wanted to go ahead and homosexually rape here. So throughout this country, you know, throughout this country, throughout Zog Babylon, you know, and some people have gone ahead and claimed that I worship Bertrand Comparé, and, you know, whatever Bertrand Comparé said is 100% correct. And in any case, it's 100% correct, and it's all together right. And folks, back then, you know, during the late 60s, people were thinking that Russia was Gog and Magog, and essentially they were Zog, Babylon, and all this other thing here. And essentially, they didn't seem to understand, except to a lesser extent, that Zog, Babylon has always been to where you have these Jews and these evil Uyghurs, these regime criminal Uyghurs, go ahead and try to destroy Yahweh's servant nation, the Israelite, by going ahead and carrying out miscegenation. Right now, you know, like Louis Beam said, you know, back in 1992, when, you know, a couple years after the Soviet Empire had gone ahead and collapsed, you know, after the fall of the Berlin Wall, is that essentially the Soviet Union was no longer really a threat to us white people. Essentially, the threat to us white people is Zog Babylon, the third and the final here. And that is exactly what is a threat to us. That is exactly what is a threat to us. So what do we do? And the answer is, there is nothing we can do. I sometimes wonder when Noah went ahead and preached for 120 years from his 480th birthday to his 600th birthday, if in many cases what essentially Noah did tell these people who did listen, you know, tell them not go ahead and let in any mamzer into your family, not let any mud into your family, not let any Jew hybrid or anything like that into your family. If he didn't simply tell them is that, hey folks, there's really not room for you on the ark. What I want you to do is rather leave. Rather go ahead and pick up and go. Because unlike Abraham, I once had somebody said, well, why didn't simply Noah, if he had that problem, why didn't he just simply move just like Abraham, you know, was told to move? And the answer is that Yahweh had to destroy the first Zog Babylon. He had to destroy it with water. He had to destroy it with a flood. And I was looking at something, and somebody went ahead and pointed out about how the story of the flood is a universal story. You know, the American Indians believed in it, the Greeks believed in it, the Mesopotamians, of course, believed in it. In a sense, it's a universal story, but the question is that, well, how could it have happened? Because even if you go ahead and precipitate every inch of water vapor out of the atmosphere, still wouldn't have had enough to go ahead and, you know, fill just the hills, much less the mountains, much less Everest. And the answer is local, you know, Noah's flood was a local flood. And the point of it was to go ahead and destroy disobedient, miscegenating Israelites. So too, the Zog Babylon, I mean, you know, Yahweh is not concerned, as far as I can tell, with the non-whites. It's not concerned with the Edomites. It's not concerned with the niggers. It's not concerned with the gooks. It's not concerned with the chinks. They're not under Yahweh's law. They're not immortal, you know, they're not critters with souls. So essentially this, you know, this fussing and fighting between Eli James and Finkelshiny and Dan Johns and the rest here don't mean anything. It's just simply Jews coming in and trying to change the word or the work of, you know, the work of a number of people here. You know, the understanding that only the Bible only concerns two seed lines. One, Yahweh's servant nation of Israel, and the other, the evil seed line, the vicious seed line, the spawn of Satan seed line, the Jews. And sometimes I do believe, I do believe this. Maybe Noah, I'm getting tired. Maybe Noah didn't tell anybody converted away from race mixing. You know, and folks, you can't control. You know, I mean, heck, I can't control my sister-in-law. You know, I haven't talked to her for years. You know, there's nothing to talk about. I don't even keep up her name. I don't keep up her address. Don't keep up anything, because essentially she did something that I don't think my brother would have approved of. She adopted a nigger. And I asked her to, you know, please just take the thing back, and she wouldn't do that. So as a result, what am I supposed to do here? I mean, I don't have any control over that woman. You know, don't have any control over that woman at all. There's nothing you can do about such people. Now, you know, at least my, you know, remaining brother and sister, why, hey, they won't have anything to do with, they won't have anything to do with, non-whites. They occasionally will do business with the Anglo Mestizos, but essentially, they still don't understand. But I've heard other people tell me about how, well, their relatives in their pure-blooded thing have gone ahead and married into, well, Beaners. And, somebody went ahead and told me is that, hey, his sister went ahead and disowned her daughter because she married a half-breed Mexican. And, you know, her daughter went ahead and squeezed out a Beaner, squeezed out a quarter Beaner. And, essentially the Beaner husband went ahead and went bitching to this sister, called her a racist at her place of employment. Screaming and hollering. Well, folks, none of us can go ahead and control. You know, people. Heck, we're not even allowed to control our own offspring here. Now, that's got sort of moot for me because, hey, I don't have my grandchildren anymore. I love them, and I pray every night that maybe someday they'll be able to come home. But if they can't come home, that they be happy and healthy and not turned into worthless wiggers. But folks, what do we end up doing with that? And the answer is we can't do a single thing about it. All we can do is go ahead and let this collapse occur. And when we go ahead and see people like Clint Downey, you know, Nimoy, Eli James, Finkelschini, when we go ahead and see them come in, and we see them go ahead and censor, and we see them go ahead and take over, we should understand that they are not what they appear to be. They are essentially evildoers, and we should have nothing to do with them. Keith Southworth is going ahead, well, maybe we'll go ahead and save some of these people who are around Eli James and, you know, Bill Fink. I said, well, I don't think that's going to happen. Most of them are Mamzers. Most of them are Jews. Most of them have something wrong with them. They're part of what I call the Talks Jew, you know, Wikipedia Talks Jew CI of wandering Mamzerhood. No. What we will have, which come to, you know, your Christian identity Bible study, is going to be the ones who take something from it here. Chances are you're not going to have very many Nimbusters show up because the Nimbusters are going to be pretty well bored with it here. And by the way, if Keith doesn't want Nimbuster silliness here, I will go ahead and censor Nimbuster silliness on Keith Southworth's show. This show, heck, this is just a tard corral. And essentially, if you want to act like a tard, I'll let you act like a tard. You know, the only restrictions are is no homosexual or interracial porn, and I don't think I really want even regular porn. You know, the second one is no spamming of the chat room. And as long as you go ahead and do that here, you know, but then again, this is my show. I can go ahead and allow free speech to happen. I don't go ahead and, I mean, if you want to act like an ass clown, I'll let you act like an ass clown. It's nothing to me. I don't expect any better from, you know, from Tards, Mamsers, and Jews. I don't expect anything better at all. If you want to go ahead and show what you are, that's fine by me. I mean, this show is about me going ahead and usually unearthing what you are, but if you're stupid enough to come to this show and unearth what you are, you know, on my show, that's fine by me too. But on the other hand, something which is a Christian Identity Bible study, no, I probably, you know, chances are I'm going to go ahead and recommend to Keith that, essentially, you know, just being a total, you know, total retard here. I mean, if you're going to go ahead and show up at Christian Identity, if you're going to go ahead and show up at a Christian Identity Bible study group here, I mean, your behavior has to be a couple orders of magnitude better than it is here on the Movement Turk. Okay? Okay. Well, see, that stuff is not porn, okay? I don't care about beautiful women. I mean, the thing about it is, though, I don't know. Pretty well, I'll go ahead and ask Keith here. The show is going to be at 9:15 Eastern Time, which will be, what, 6 o'clock, California and Washington, Oregon, Pacific Time. You know, I think Idaho is Mountain Time, I'm not quite sure. I know Montana is part of its Mountain Time. You know, pretty well when you used to cross the Missouri River at Pierce, South Dakota, you got into Mountain Time. But most of the people in, Fort Pierre, they just went ahead and went with Central Time because that was the same as across the river. Pretty well, most of the commercial establishments went on, Central Time. So most of the people went on Central Time as well. Okay? God created gay sex. No, he didn't. number 13. You're a nimbus retard here. You know what I mean? Well, yes, I'm sure it is porno for six minds like you. So, essentially, why would you want to be it? Okay? Harold who? Harold Covington, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it's 5:13 in Iceland now. Let's see. What time is it? It would be about 5. I mean, from what I gather, Central Time is 6 hours ahead, it's 6 hours, I'm not sure, ahead or behind here, of Greenwich Time. You know what I mean? Central Time is what? Oh, a quarter of the Earth away from Greenwich, England. Okay? So, okay. Anyway, I don't know. Let's see how long I've been yakking here. 51, miss. I think I'm going to go ahead and just call it night and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. White men go, we vote ho, Ah, Mr. Seaboot, let the red cock crow. Why they go civil war, ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. Four white men, their rifles shoot. The Jews are laid low. On Sogling Neck, we some bar food to stamp about castle. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.